Hi there, and welcome to Open Mic here on Morehead State Public Radio. I'm your host, Leanne Akers, and today we're visiting with Dr. Jay Morgan, president of Morehead State University. Thanks so much for being here.
Hi, Leanne. It's great to be with you.
We've just closed out the spring semester here at Morehead State, and campus is mostly empty once again, but I know the administration is busy preparing for the summer and fall semesters already. With widespread vaccination availability, I know there are going to start seeing some changes on campus. So let's talk a little bit about new protocols for the summer.
I'd be glad to. First, let me say that literally the sun is shining outside, but we also think it's shining as well because people are getting vaccinated. Number of cases seem to be diminishing, and life seems like it's getting quite a bit better, in our opinion. We just finished a very nice commencement ceremony this past weekend. And so our summer protocols are really geared from post-commencement starting today all the way to August the 1st. So just think about them as the summer months, if you will. Mm-hmm. So roughly today to August the 1st. And within that, we're continuing to follow CDC best practices, suggested protocols. And we've also worked with Dr. Stack, the infamous Dr. Stack now, with the Kentucky Public Health Cabinet on developing some more specific protocols that he's relayed to us for universities. And a couple of them, I'll just go over a few, and I don't think any of them will surprise you too much. We are continuing throughout the summer to ask all individuals, faculty, staff, students, guests, and in the summer, our summer camp participants, to wear face masks in all buildings while inside. We're going to continue that through August the 1st and then reevaluate, you know, for the fall semester at a later point in time. We are not going to require face masks outside this summer. We have gotten public health guidance that if people can distance about 3 feet or so from each other outside during the summer, that masks are not needed. If people want to wear them, that's great. But if they'd like to take them off outside, we're okay with that for the summer. But they do need to try to maintain, you know, 3 or 4 feet of distance apart. Mm-hmm. Also for the summers, you know, we bring in a lot of summer camps. And we're going to be asking those camps to try to maintain groups of less than 40 in groupings. And that will look a little bit different. So let's just take a camp that's inside somewhere in a classroom. You know, we tried to keep our fall and spring classes small, 20, 30 people or so. We're asking the camps to try to do the same, less than 40 people. And then also outside some of our athletic camps, you know, they may have 40 individuals on one end of a field and 40 individuals on the other end of the field. Just don't mix them together and put 100 all together. So we're trying to keep, you know, pods and a little bit of separation there. Mm-hmm. And something new, and I'll end with this one. Something new is we work with Dr. Stack in Frankfurt, and he's been wonderful to work with through this for our university. He has recommended and said we could go down from 6 feet of separation distance to 3 feet. That's what the public K-12 schools will be doing as well. And he feels like that we've shown our ability to operate in a safe way, and we can do that also. So through this summer, mask inside, outside, they're optional. Try to keep groups of 40 or less, and stay 3 feet apart if you can. So a pretty simple summer.
Now, I do know that a lot of employees are starting to return to campus as well.
They are, yes. I'm glad you mentioned that. We really wanted to wait, Leanne, until our employees had the opportunity to take the second vaccination. Mm-hmm. And I think a big part of our campus was able to complete that. I don't have an actual number of who completed it because we don't go around asking people, you know, medical or health information. But St. Clair did a wonderful job providing several hundred people with vaccinations that we know of. other people got vaccinated, you know, maybe at their own doctor, hospital, or health department somewhere else. We wanted to wait until all the employees, faculty, and staff had an opportunity to do that. And we've really set the month of May to get an expanded amount of people back, and hopefully around June 1 to pretty much have everybody back. We want to spend June and July working out all the little bugs that we may need to in order to kind of do that return to normal or close to normal for around August the 1st. So June and July will be, you know, working out the bugs of having people in a little bit closer quarters. Lots of people come in, close their door, and work with a door closed, and that's fine.
Mm-hmm. Now, there's been a lot of discussion throughout the state of Kentucky, well, nationally, internationally, really, about requiring people who are going to be working in certain facilities to have vaccination, proof of vaccination. I anticipate that we will not be doing that here at Morehead State.
Correct. If you're asking the question, is MSU going to require vaccinations? The answer is no. We are, to my knowledge, the public universities in Kentucky at this point in time, I'm not aware of any public university in Kentucky requiring a COVID-19 vaccination. To that point, our one-liner for both our faculty, staff, students, and everybody else that comes to our campus, it has been, we encourage you to consult with your medical provider, determine what is right for you based off your medical needs. And then we do encourage you to heavily consider getting vaccinated, but we are not going to require it. There's actually some new state statutes that speak to this a little bit as well. So we're hopeful that people do it. We're trying to give them every opportunity in the world for them to do it. When students come back in August for the fall semester, they're going to get some communication, both returning and new students. You know, please go get vaccinated in your home community if you haven't already. We're going to have some, hopefully, some vaccination opportunities when they first get here. If they could not do so back home before they come to campus, we're going to make another push around August to see if we can boost our campus a little bit.
Mm-hmm. I spoke with Dr. Will Milan over at St. Clair last week about the importance of getting vaccinated and how not getting vaccinated makes it easier for COVID variants to show up, those mutated viruses. And I wonder about how much discussion is happening in higher education, because everyone is in such close quarters, although most universities across Kentucky have been doing a really good job. I know that increased capacity is happening in the fall.
Yeah, you know, I'm not medically trained enough to really talk about the different variants and the epidemiology piece behind it.
Mm-hmm.
What I can relay and feel very comfortable relaying is Dr. Milan has been wonderful to work with from our standpoint, from MSU, you know, in kind of designing these days for our employees to go over, our students to go over and get vaccinated. And we very much have appreciated the time that he spent just providing general input. So we'll continue to do that. But I can't speak, you know, to the medical aspects. I'm just not,
right,
I'm not trained in that capacity.
Of course. Now, I know that there are some people who medically can't be vaccinated. I have some family members who are in that situation. Sorry. What is the university? I know the university is doing things to accommodate individuals in those particular situations, but I know we hadn't really discussed what goes into making those accommodations happen.
We, to your point, we have had a number of people who have contacted us and said, you know, my doctor or my medical provider or otherwise encouraged me to maybe hold off on the vaccination for whatever reason, you know, that there might be. And again,
mm-hmm.
that's why we've encouraged people, go talk to your medical provider to make sure everything is, you know, good. But we do encourage you to get vaccinated if your doctor checks off on it. We've had a handful of people who said, I don't need to get vaccinated for one reason or another. And what we have recommended is if they are a student, we've tried to steer them towards taking online courses if they need to kind of remain out of, that in-person classroom environment. If individuals have needed other modifications, our Office of Disability Services here on campus has done some work in this area. I'll just say we've tried to be reasonable where we can, if we know about instances, and we'll continue to be. I'm sure as this rolls forward into summer and fall and maybe even next spring, that we'll have folks who need some modifications for one reason or another. But the default has always been, let's see if we can put you in some online courses if you don't need to be around other people. I feel like we're going to be wearing masks for a while inside. We'll probably wait till the latter part of the summer to see what CDC and public health experts say. But if someone is unvaccinated and for a medical reason doesn't need to get vaccinated, they really need to ask their doctor also, what are some of the things they need to do to take for reasonable steps not to get the virus? So.
And it's, even though we've been dealing with this for over a year now, it's still changing. Things change day to day, and sometimes that makes it a little more difficult to plan far in advance. It's kind of like, well, we can talk about the next few weeks, or we can talk about the next month or so, but anything further than that is subject to change.
I was kind of laughing with someone the other day that 15 years ago in higher education, we'd plan for 5 or 10 years ahead of time for things. And then it got down to 2 or 3 years. And during COVID, it's been, okay, folks, what are we doing this week? And I do think, Leanne, life is getting better. Sun shining on us a little bit more from a vaccination standpoint. We're able to plan a little bit further out. You'll notice I mentioned early at our sit down today that, our plans are really for the summer. So that's a 2 to 3 month plan of here's where we think we are. Our hope is somewhere around late July or so to really message what does that whole fall semester look like going forward. So it feels like we're kind of getting our legs back under us a little bit better from a planning standpoint.
And on that note, we're going to take a quick break here on Open Mic. We'll be right back after this.
I'm Maria Hinojosa. This week on Latino USA, we meet some of the Latinos and Latinas working on the most recent and historic mission to Mars.
The moment we landed, it was super emotional because after so many years, our baby was finally on the surface of Mars.
That's this week on Latino USA. Saturday mornings at 7 on WMKY at 90.3 FM.
And we're back here on Open Mic here at Morehead State Public Radio. I'm your host, Leanne Akers, and we're visiting with Dr. Jay Morgan, the president of Morehead State University. Thanks again for being with us today.
Wonderful, Leanne. Great to be here.
University has always been focused on student retention and recruitment, but the pandemic has made those things a little more challenging in the last year. Let's talk a little bit about the numbers. I know we have students who have enrolled for fall semester, May mess, or fall and summer semesters. May semester started earlier this week. So tell me a little bit what the numbers look like for the summer.
Sure, I'll be glad to. Let me start with summer, and then we'll talk a little bit about the retention piece that you mentioned. Our summer semester, multiple summer semesters for summer of 2021, looks what I call stable and steady. We're not seeing any significant growth. We're not seeing, a massive cliff there. Numbers continue to go up a little bit each week, and I imagine with the summer semesters literally starting this week and moving forward, that we're probably going to be just about even, maybe just a quarter of an inch down from last year. But all in all, a very solid outlook for this particular summer. For the fall semester, fall of 21, our applications have picked up significantly over the past couple of weeks. As you know from just having kids out in the school system, mm-hmm. with the schools going back around March or so, a little bit more steady fashion for our K-12 students, particularly those 12th graders who hopefully will come to us in the future. Really, them getting back in school is when we saw the uptick starting in applications for the fall. A little too early to guess where we'll land for this fall. We do remain cautiously optimistic it's going to be a good one. I don't have anything at this point to lead me to saying, you know, that there's going to be a cliff or a substantial fall off, but I do acknowledge and do want to point out that registrations have been slower than normal, but you know, we're kind of coming off a little bit of a tough time, but they're picking up quite nicely. On the retention side, and as you're aware, and I think we've had a couple of shows on this in the past, we have been able to raise retention over the past 3 or 4 years from 69% to about 75.5%, roughly. And that roughly 6 percentage point move is very substantial when you're talking about retaining thousands and thousands of students. So our campus has done a wonderful job getting retention up in the past. We are so hopeful, Leanne, that that doesn't all fall apart because of COVID.
Mm-hmm.
I do have to be realistic and think that we will take a hit on retention. That 75.4 or 5% that we were touting, you know, over the last year or so, I just don't see where it can stay the same because of COVID. So we're probably going to take a little dip on retention. I hope it's not anything too onerous, and I hope we can pull that back around. If you want to break that down even further with retention, we're seeing some retention softness with our current year freshmen.
Mm-hmm.
They have just not had a normal life in the past year or two. They ended their high school career last spring, you know, in a kind of a twisted way. Their summer was very odd. And then they came to us in the fall, and last fall, in this most recently completed spring, were just not a normal first year college experience. So we're seeing some softness in the freshmen who just completed their freshman year. They just had a tough time turning that corner. Our sophomores and juniors actually look really solid, but you know, that group kind of had a head start before COVID.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And then the other piece that's slumping sluggish just a little bit is our graduate student population. And I think that's because a lot of them are working,
mm-hmm.
Individuals, you know, they're out in the world to work. They're taking night classes or weekend classes with us, and life has become, in some cases, you know, just busy, complicated and busy with COVID. I think some of them are probably just saying, I'm just going to wait another semester before I get started. And there may be a financial component there as well. But our sophomores and juniors look really solid on retention. Our freshmen and graduates, just a little softer than what we'd like to see, but hopefully that'll turn around.
Now, I know that we talked last time about freezing housing costs for the fall semester. Are there any other things that are changing or not changing, I guess, in order to make higher education more accessible for students this fall?
Actually, I'm glad you asked that question. As you know, we have frozen housing on campus every year that I've been here. And I think this year would be the fourth year. And back in March, our Board of Regents approved my request of them, a recommendation to freeze housing again for next year. if you kind of break that freeze down a little bit, our philosophy is we want students on campus. We think they retain better on campus. We get them more active on campus, you know, and just kind of the normal comings and goings of a campus life. And we want to do everything we can to promote students living on campus. We're going to freeze housing again for next year. Going forward, at our June Board of Regents meeting, our regents will be approving tuition for next year. We froze that last year. Actually, we've frozen it for 2 years that I've been with MSU. And we'll probably have to raise it just a little bit between this year and next year, but it won't be much. We're still kind of working on what that exact percentage is. But I will say publicly at this point, it's going to be extremely small. So we're trying to keep higher ed affordable. We still remain the second lowest tuition in the state of Kentucky, only eclipsed by Kentucky State University. So we're more cost efficient than any of our neighbors across the state other than KSU. And we hope to stay in that position.
Mm-hmm. I know that really kind of aligns with the mission of the university and, of course, with the demographics of the students in the regions that MSU has traditionally served.
We have really tried to, if we've had to raise something, we really tried to keep it a very small amount. We recognize the region that we're in. We understand the region that we're in, and we really want to try to walk hand in hand with not only our region, but those outside the region that, you know, are looking for, a reasonable and affordable education. Our costs continue to go up, you know, electric bills and water bills and insurance and everything like everybody else. So we do have to raise it occasionally, but at least over the past 4 years, we have been at zero or very, very small amount each year. And I hope we can continue that trajectory going forward in some manner.
We're almost out of time here on Open Mic, but I really wanted to ask quickly, I know that there's going to be some summer projects that are happening on the campus. If you wanted to highlight those, I know people are going to be able to see it happening.
Well, there will be some summer projects. Some of the things that we wanted to do last summer, we had to parlay them and wait until this summer to do so. I'll rattle off a few, and they're in no particular order. The library will be getting a new roof this summer. We've had some issues over there, so we'll probably be marking some of that area off for a while to replace that roof. We're doing a lot of painting inside some of our residence halls over this summer. Two or three of them are going to get a nice fresh coat of paint. We're replacing some furniture in some of our residence halls, some of the older furniture that just it was in need of replacement. We're going to replace some of that in, I believe, two of our halls. Fields Hall and Mays Hall will get some new furniture. And we're going to be doing a lot of tree trimming and plumbing work and electrical work, stuff you just can't do during the normal school year. We'll go on this summer, and we've got to get caught up on all the things that we couldn't do last summer. So there's going to be quite a bit of work going on, and we hope to get ready for the fall semester.
And unfortunately, that's all the time we have here on Open Mic. Dr. Jay Morgan, president of Morehead State University, thanks so much for being here.
Glad to. Anytime. Thanks, Leanne.
Thanks for tuning in to Open Mic. Our show is produced by Greg Jenkins, and our theme music is Turtle in the Creek, composed by Galen Green and performed by The Wooks. Produced by Morehead State Public Radio with the generous support of listeners just like you. We'll see you next Friday.